Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Regular listeners to the Beacon Broadcast know that we are almost at the end of our study of Paul's epistle to the Colossians, and that we are currently examining verse 15 of chapter 4, which says, "Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea, and Nymphas, and the church that is in his house." And we are examining this short text to consider the following. First of all, we learn something about a neighboring church, namely the church of Laodicea, of which we know very little until we get to the book of Revelation. And there we learn some things about that church that cause us to understand that it went into spiritual decline after Paul wrote the Colossian epistle. But at this time, it appears to be a healthy church, a neighboring church to the Colossian church, and one that Paul wants to encourage fellowship with between these two neighboring churches. But beyond what we learn about a neighboring church, we secondly consider a simple facility. And that takes us to that word, house. "Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea and Nymphas and the church that is in his house." And that's where we're going on this Wednesday, August 16. We're glad you've joined us, and we're thankful for those whose financial gifts enable us to teach God's Word on this station. Well, we need to understand the predominance of house churches in the New Testament days. Most of the churches in the New Testament met in houses. We don't really know of any church in the New Testament era that constructed or owned their own building. Let me just remind you of a few indications of this in the Scriptures. For example, in Acts 12:12, when Peter was released from prison, we read, "And so, when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying." Now, that text needs a little bit more explanation. The simple part of the text is that Peter came to the house of Mary, the mother of John Mark, and found disciples gathered there to pray. But, of course, that could happen in your house or my house and would not necessarily indicate that we had no church building, simply that we were having what we used to call a cottage prayer meeting in a house. However, an examination of what we learn about the church at Jerusalem leads us to understand that they had no building of their own when they met with the entire congregation. They evidently met at the temple, the Jewish temple. And that sounds strange to us because when we think of a temple, we usually think of a structure that is primarily an auditorium where the Jews, of course, would worship. But if you will take time to study carefully Herod's great temple in the first century, you'll realize that they didn't actually meet in the temple proper. In fact, nobody did. If you understand what that temple was like in that day, it was constructed after the pattern of the Old Testament tabernacle, which means that the building itself, the main building, consisted of two compartments, the holy place and then the Holy of Holies, and neither of those were assembly places. Neither of these were auditoriums for people to gather. However, the temple complex, which covered many acres and was the size of, I've forgotten how many football fields, but a good many, maybe as many as 12, was a place where thousands of people gathered on some occasions, and in addition to the courtyards, which were large in order to accommodate these crowds, there were a number of porticos, referred to as porches, like Solomon's porch, which were structures that had columns and roofs over the top, and they were huge. And they were able to accommodate hundreds, if not thousands, of people under a roof, though open air on the sides. And this part of the temple was a public property, basically. And people came there by the hundreds and thousands, and so the church was able to meet there and have meetings, have services. They could gather in one part of the temple complex and would scarcely even be noticed. Well, that would be hard with the size of the congregation to not be noticed, but could carry on their service without interfering with anything else that was going on in the temple. And that apparently is what they did. But they didn't always meet in the temple with the entire congregation. They evidently broke the larger congregation down into sub-units that met in houses. And this is one of them. The House of Mary was one of what I would take to be a number of houses throughout Jerusalem that housed sections of the church. We have something like this in a lot of churches today when they have their home group fellowships, shepherding fellowships, different things that they may be called, where many churches today have regular meetings in homes of members, and the congregation is divided down into smaller groups, and the smaller groups meet usually in one particular home, though sometimes they can trade around, depending on how it's organized, and that becomes a group fellowship separate from the main worship service of the entire congregation, the assembly. But the point being that there's no evidence the church at Jerusalem had a church building. Now, I could go on and elaborate this point by turning to more texts, but I don't think I'm going to do that. I think I'll just make brief reference to them. For example, at Philippi, we find Lydia, the seller of purple, and a few women gathering on the riverbank before Paul came because there weren't enough people there to organize a Jewish synagogue. That required a minimum of 10 men, and there evidently weren't 10 Jewish men in Philippi to organize a synagogue. So they didn't have a building. They met down by the riverside, and Paul preached the gospel to them, and Lydia was saved. Her heart was opened, and others were saved, and a church was started in Philippi, but no record of a church building. And on it goes. Corinth, likewise, in Acts chapter 18, there's no indication that the church of Corinth met in its own building, but it met in the home of Titius Justus, and at early days of the church, and then in the home of one called Gaius, according to Romans 16:23. Ephesus, the church at Ephesus, and that was a large church, started out meeting in the home of Aquila and Priscilla, according to 1 Corinthians 16:19, but later evidently moved into a rented building, and this gets closer to a church-type building, because Paul taught daily, we are told, in the school, that is the school building, the schoolhouse, of a man called Tyrannus, and so that church evidently outgrew houses, a house or houses. But Larger churches were often divided into several house locations. Smaller churches could meet in one home. And some houses were even modified for church use. Now, you also have to have some kind of an idea of the typical Greek and Roman style of housing architecture for large houses. And if you take the time to study a Roman house, I would suggest that you look it up online or that you find one in an encyclopedia, as I've done on past occasions. And you'll notice that the houses were generally built around an open courtyard, which sometimes could be quite sizable. And I have actually been in homes like this in other parts of the world. Never been in one in America built like this, but I've been in ones in other parts of the world. And I know one in particular that I stayed in for, I think, 5 nights in a old colonial home in a city in Africa. And I calculated that if you'd put out chairs in that open courtyard surrounded by the house on all four sides, but open above to the sun, and you could no doubt see 200 or 300 people there without any difficulty if you had folding chairs to accommodate them. Of course, again, we don't know what they did during Bible days, whether they had chairs or benches, pews as we call them today, or what they did. But if they met in homes, they probably sat on the ground or sat on whatever furniture was available. But the point is that this is typical. House churches, that is, churches that meet in houses, was the predominant New Testament style, and from what I've read, continued to be up until maybe late in the second century, where you begin to find some churches that were constructing their own buildings similar to Jewish synagogues. And what was the reason for that? Why didn't they have a building of their own? Why do we read in Colossians 4:15, "Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea and Nymphas and the church that is in his house"? Well, certainly one reason would be just simple primitive simplicity. They liked it that way. It was very simple. But a second, and maybe more compelling reason, is financial necessity. They didn't have the financial resources to build their own building. And so, that's what they did. They met in houses. And it's interesting to me that in almost every city where God established a church, where God used missionaries like Paul to establish a church, there seems to always have been one or more wealthy people who had a house large enough to accommodate the church. Obviously, you can't accommodate a church in a small home. If it was a small one-room house like some people had in that day, you'd have a hard time gathering very many people there. Just a dozen or so would probably be the most you could do. But if you had one of these large mansion-type homes with the large open courtyard in the middle surrounded by the house, which would be, the rooms would be unwalled on the courtyard side. You just walk from the open courtyard right into the rooms. And so it really would be capable of accommodating a number of people for church gatherings. And it seems that God had people, wealthy people, wealthy enough for houses like this in every city where they were needed. God saves all kind, from the rich to the poor. But we'll take it up again, Lord willing, tomorrow. Join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.